Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 147, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. O save me by thy name, and judge me in thy might. O God, now grant my urgent claim, acceptance in thy sight. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 147.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this evening, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, and are of the 19th chapter, beginning by verse 28. John chapter 19, beginning by verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he said true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again another Scripture said, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may gather together in this evening of this work day, wherein we may set aside this day to commemorate that greatest of events that has taken place in this world. And we may acknowledge thee, that thou from all eternity hast decreed that this should take place for the salvation of thy church and for the honor and for the glory of thy great and holy name. Thy thoughts, they are, said thy servant, very deep, so that we are not able to enter into the mysteries that thou hast accomplished for thy church. We can see but the smallest part thereof. But then in this evening, in a special way, then we may gather together in the first place to try to bow our knees and to acknowledge thee for what thou hast given for the sake of thy church, and that thou wast willing to give thyself to suffering, but even unto the death of the cross, that thou hast not shunned to fulfill the whole counsel of God, and that thou hast gone through, even though thy own human nature did recoil against all those sufferings, even as ours, that thou hast gone forward even to give thyself unto such a cursed and painful death. Lord, then who of us are able to fathom what thou hast suffered in that short time on that day so long ago? Who of us have given it any thought and meditation in this day, that we may be humbled before thee, Lord, that thou may open unto us the great cause of that death, that is our own sin, that we may be given to see and to feel something of the great evil of sin. For when we may feel the evil of sin against thy law, then so much more shall it be felt when we are standing at the foot of thy cross to see what thou hadst to suffer therefore. Oh, that thou may increase the magnitude of that evil of sin in our eyes, that we may hate sin with all our heart, that we may flee from sin with all our life. O Lord, how can we be made partakers of this great suffering that thou hast given thyself unto so long ago, if we never experience a pang in our own heart, if there is never a tear that comes down our own cheeks, if our hearts are never broken, and our hearts are never grieved because we have sinned against thee? Then we can commemorate this great event so many times in our life, but it shall never be to our profit. O Lord, we beseech thee, thou art God in heaven above. Then it is so necessary that thou wouldst grant unto us that life from the dead, and that thou may raise us from the dead, that we may begin to see, that we may begin to feel, and that we may begin to weep even as a little child that is born into this world. That we may feel something of that great missing of thee, our Maker and our Creator, and that we may be given to learn something of the cause of that great separation. That we may be given to feel something of the great evil, the great guilt, and the great pollution of our heart, that we may mourn therefore, that we may turn therefrom, that we may be given also to feel the great depth of our fall, that we may know from how high that we have fallen, and how low, how deeply we have fallen, that we may experience the impossibility of ever delivering ourselves, that we may know for ourselves that it is not sufficient that thou wouldst be a good example for us to follow. O Lord, that thou thyself may instruct each and every one, young and old. That thou wouldst make thyself and that which thou hast done precious in our eyes this night, that the eyes may be going open of those whose eyes are so closed for thee. For thou knowest also thy own and where that they are. Thou knowest those that mourn and those that are not able to deliver themselves. Thou knowest how that there are those that do sit in darkness. O Lord, thou art able to give them light. Could it please thee to open their eyes also in this evening hour, that thou may bring into the heart, and by a little word from above, something that may be for the deliverance of their soul. Oh Lord, Thou alone can open our eyes. Thou alone can show to us what our sin is. And Thou alone can show unto us that way of deliverance. It all is waiting upon Thy blessing. And that Thou may remember each and every one of Thy dear children. For Thy disciples so long ago were in this day so cast down. Oh, they did not know it anymore. For them, then it was so dark in this evening hour, when they had to go unto their own homes. O Lord, Thou knowest where such are also in the midst of us. For Thy children are not able to understand it when Thou wilt lead them in this way. But then it does end in their own deliverance. That they may be founded and that they may be grounded upon a solid rock. Oh, that Thou may instruct Thy children more and more. Wilt Thou look upon us then in this evening hour, that Thy word may have free course, that there may be place made, that there may be comfort given, that the meek may eat and may be satisfied. Lord, it depends all upon Thee. Open Thou our mouth. Remember all the afflicted, the sick, and all those that have special needs. Those that are not able to be with us in this evening hour, and that may have a desire. Wilt Thou supply for them in their places? And wilt Thou give strength unto the weak, health unto the sick? Wilt Thou give comfort unto all those that mourn? And wilt Thou supply for all those that are needy? Bring Thy word to the ends of the world. Lord, remember the countries in which we do live. O Lord, that Thou Thyself would look upon us in Thy mercy. Thou knowest that there is a day set aside, that man may not go to his labors in this day. But Thou knowest that there is no need for Thee. Then there is no desire. There is no longing. Thou art despised in the eyes of men. We have left Thee so far. That Thou may bring us again. It is only that suffering and death that is able to atone for the sins of our nation. Could it please Thee to draw us back again, that we may run after Thee. Forgive us, Lord, because otherwise we can only receive Thy great judgments, and the clouds they are lowering over us. But look Thou upon us in Thy mercy, and turn us again. Draw us that we might run after Thee. Do increase the number of Thy truly sent servants. Give instruction unto the students, that there may be those that may experience in their own soul the need and be given to know for themselves what Thou hast done for them. And that may also be called and sent out in the months that are to come, when the curatorium hopes to meet. That this great suffering and death of Thy only begotten Son, may it be published amongst all the nations of the world, amongst Jew and Gentile, and that we and our children may also receive something of the benefit thereof. Look then upon us in this night. Help us to do the labor of our hands that Thou layest upon us. Give a desire within to hear. Give attention. Wilt Thou give us simplicity? Fill us with Thy Holy Spirit. Take away what is of ourself and give something of a word from Thee. And that Thou Thyself may feelingly and believingly go before us and be in the midst of us as one that serveth undeservedly from our side. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 47 in stanzas 1, 4, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 4, 7, 8, and 9 of Psalter 47.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this evening hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 19, and thereof the 30th verse. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So far in the words of our text, which speaks of the bitter cup finished. First, by whom it was finished, and second, for whom it was finished. The bitter cup finished. First, by whom it was finished, and second, for whom it was finished. It is finished. What was finished? Last Sunday, then we heard one of those last acts of the Lord Jesus before that he has given his life in the state of his humiliation. We read that they gave him vinegar to drink. And we read here, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." That was, congregation, prophesied already a long time ago. Because David, he said that they gave me gall for my food and that they gave me vinegar to drink. That was one of those prophecies that here in those last hours of his life still had to be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we read here, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, and that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Thus there was not one jot, there was not one tittle of all that Christ had agreed to do with his Father in eternity, that Christ would leave undone in the state of his humiliation. Now also, to drink of this vinegar, and we have heard of that drinking in the last Sabbath day. That was a symbol of the bitterness of the sufferings of Christ, even from the very beginning of his life, To the very end of his life. Peter would like to have prevented that Christ should go in this bitter way. That was for Christ himself, for the love of him, but also for Peter himself, because the church has no desire to follow Christ in such a way. But we can read that such was not in the heart of Christ, but that he has commanded Peter to put his sword into his sheath, because he says, "Now that cup which my Father hath given unto me, shall I not drink it?" When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." What is now finished, children? Well, you say, the vinegar is finished. That is right. That vinegar is finished. But now we are not done with that. To say that that is all that this means, that the Lord Jesus says that he is finished with that vinegar, no. Because if you will look, then you will see that this word, finished, that is exactly the same word as we read here two verses before, when we read, In verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing all things that were now accomplished. Thus, that is the same word, finished or accomplished. He says that word two times. Thus it reads, it is finished or it is accomplished. And then after this we read that he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Then it is not so that the Lord Jesus first gave up the ghost, that the Lord Jesus first died as a man would and then his head would bow, but that the Lord Jesus first bowed his head and then he gave up the ghost. Thus, it speaks about the Lord Jesus actively and purposely giving his own life. He was able to do that because he was God. Thus, the life of the Lord Jesus was not taken from him. No, there was not a man in the world, and there is not a devil in hell that was able to take the life away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But that life he has voluntarily given up of his own accord. But he has not done so until all things have been accomplished. Everything that he himself had promised his Father that he would do. And he did not give up that life until he had not only finished it, but until he had declared himself that all of that work was finished, until he had said, "It is accomplished." That is the same what you do sometimes too, children. When your mother, when your father has commanded you to do something, and then you have completed this, and then you come back unto your father. You say, "Father, it is finished," or "Mother, it is finished. Now I have done, I have accomplished the thing which thou hast commanded me to do." And so now the Lord Jesus, he says, as it were, to his own Father. "Father," he says, "it is finished. It is accomplished." That was his Father who had sent him. And it was said unto his Father not only, but it is said, we hope to hear also in a special way, for the sake of his own church. It is accomplished. Thus, this declaration that is speaking about the accomplishment of a purpose, that is speaking about the fulfillment of an end. All the labors were directed unto a certain end. And that is now what the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. Solomon, he says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning of it." Why? Well, because at the very end of a thing, then it is brought to its fulfillment. At the end of a thing, then the goal that has been reached, then the purpose that has been accomplished. Thus, whenever we begin to do something, then to what are we looking? We are always looking unto the end of it. If you will build a building, carpenters, then you are looking, when you are beginning to build, then you are always looking unto the end, and everything is pointed unto that end, that purpose, and you are waiting and you are longing for that time, that that purpose may be fulfilled, that it may be accomplished. Young people, children, you go to school, you begin in that year, you begin your labors, and what are you looking for? Well, you look to the end of it, and you say, well, at the end of it, then I receive my degree. At the end of it, then I receive my papers and I can go forward in this world to my labors. Thus Solomon, he says, the end, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. In the beginning there is anticipation. In the beginning there is hope. In the beginning there is a looking forward. But it is now in the end that we realize the accomplishment. In the end, then we can look back and we can see everything that we have done. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. In the beginning are many labors. In the beginning there is the sweat of the face. What now is in the end of a thing? Well, in the end of a thing, then there is rest. Then there is an enjoyment. There is an enjoyment of the fulfillment of that end that we have labored so to bring about in this world. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Congregation, what is now the end and what is now the purpose of our life? Shall the end of our life be better than the beginning of our life? Well, that will depend on whether the purpose of our life that is fulfilled by the time that we come to the end of our life, will the purpose of your life be fulfilled when you get to the end of it? Or will that be only half done? Well, how many of us have thought even about the purpose of our life? So I have many purposes in my life. I have many projects to do in my life, children. Many things I want to do, and I have an end and I have a purpose. And I look to that and I come to the end of that, and then I have another one, and then I have another one and another one. But what is now the purpose and what is now the end, not in our life, but what is the purpose of our life? And when we come to the end of our life, will we be able also to say, as the Lord Jesus said here, it is accomplished? Is that not a blessed dying? When we come to the end of our life, oh surely, surely the end of such a man's life is better than the beginning of his life. When he can look over all his life and he can see that that purpose that has been reached, and when he can lay down his weary head and enjoy something of that rest and that blessed satisfaction in the fulfillment of that purpose. When will we begin? When will we begin to look to the purpose of our life? The Lord Jesus, he said, the kingdom of heaven that is as a man that had a treasure, found a treasure in a field. And he hid it. And then he went to spend all the money that he had to buy that field. That man had a purpose. And all his resources and all his time and everything in his whole life, that was all for that one purpose. Oh, such a people have a purpose. Do you have such a purpose? Their entire life is given to that purpose. The Lord Jesus, He says, seek. Their life is given to that seeking. The Lord Jesus, He says, knock. Their life is given to that knocking. The Lord Jesus, He says, ask. And the life of that people that is given unto that asking, because there is a purpose, congregation, in their life. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Do you know who we envy? We envy sometimes a little child, then he is born into this world. You say sometimes, oh, that I could be just as a little child once again. But beloved, what does Moses say about this life? Moses says that the strength of our life, that is trouble and sorrow, and then we fly away. We envy such a little infant more than we envy a dying man upon his deathbed. But we read that John, he heard a voice from heaven. And that voice that said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Thus the end, better than the beginning. It is finished. It is accomplished. Christ declares his work accomplished that the Father had sent him to do. A blessed purpose. That purpose that was before him each and every day. When he arose in the morning until he went to bed at night. One purpose in his life for 33 years. That did not start when he was 30, children. That began when he was just a child. Because we can read, then he went into the temple. And there his parents found him sitting with the doctors. They were so surprised. He says, why are you surprised? How is it that you have sought me? And that you have not sought me here? Do you not know? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That one purpose in his whole life. And so the Lord Jesus, at the very end of his life, then we can read that he prays unto his Father. Can read it in that high priestly prayer in John 17. That he says, my Father, I have glorified thee. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Glorify thou me. With that glory that I had with thee before that the world was. I have glorified thee on the earth, finished the work. It is accomplished. What was that work? It was a work that the Father, he had sent Christ to do, of which he could say it is finished. Of which he could say, it is accomplished. What is that? It was to pay the price, to pay an awful price for sin. That is a price, congregation, that the reprobate never, ever will be able to say, it is accomplished, it is finished. Christ says that there is waiting for them an everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. He says it is an unquenchable fire. It is an everlasting destruction, we read. The smoke of their torment that is ascending up forever and forever. Never. Never will it be able to be said, it is finished. Tormented day and night, forever and forever. Oh, that we may see, that we may feel something in this evening in consideration of that cross of Christ, of the great evil of sin, of the wrath of God, the displeasure of the Lord, the curse that is due unto that sin, that eternal punishment. That is what is due. Why? It is due because of the infinity of God against whom that we sin. In hell. In hell, then there will be an unbearable pain. We read in the Bible that there shall be a weeping and that there shall be a gnashing of teeth. And never, never shall it be said, it is finished. Not one drop of water, we read, shall be given to cool the tongue of a man in hell. That will be an unbearable thirst. And never, ever will it be said, it is finished. We read that it is called an outer darkness that will be greater than the darkness of Egypt that could be felt. And never, never shall it be said that that darkness is finished. That there is one ray of light. There shall be a mocking by our friends, by our enemies. Not by man only, but we read by the Lord Himself, who shall laugh at our calamity, who shall mock when our fear cometh. And never, never ever shall it be said, it is finished, separated, separated forever and forever, not from God altogether, because there we will experience something of His wrath, His presence in His displeasure. But forever and forever separated from His favor, separated from His communion, and never, never shall it be said that it is finished or even approaching unto that time when it will be accomplished. But every Sabbath day we make confession concerning the Son of God, that He descended into hell. When was that? That was not after that He died on the cross, no. But that was beforehand. That was not a literal descending into that eternal pit, as Rome says. But it was an experiencing of the torments of hell, even while that He was upon the face of the earth. Thus we can read that in the garden that His soul was in an agony, and that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And then not only in that garden, but also here upon the cross, where the torments of hell were experienced by that blessed Son of God. That was an experiencing of those torments for the sake of His church. The pain of His body. Did we think about that today? A little bit? Or was this, children, just a day of vacation for you? Did we have a little impression somewhere in this day when it became 9 o'clock this morning? Or when it was even last night, to think where that the Lord Jesus had been all that night? And when the clock did strike this morning, when that morning sacrifice that was to be offered in Israel, how that it was at that time, that those spikes, that those nails were nailed through the hands and the feet of that meek Lord Jesus, who had gone about doing only good for all the people? Or have we at 12 o'clock today thought a little bit of that great darkness that came upon Him? Have we considered a little bit in this day which was set aside for that purpose? Considered a little bit of that great separation that He was separated from His Father, and how that He has cried out after that 3 hours of darkness, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Mocked by men. If Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe Thee, crying out for the sake of His church, and not receiving a drop of water to cool His tongue. But now, congregation, after all this, then He cried out, "It is finished. It is accomplished." His divine nature giving an infinite value to the short period of sufferings here upon this earth for His church. His own human nature, that true human nature, like yours, like mine, indeed recoiling against it. O my Father, if this cup could pass from me, but the Father strengthening him that he may be able to go forward in that awful suffering. And now he may declare, "It is finished." It is the beginning. It is the beginning of that song of victory, not just for himself, but Father, it is accomplished. It is completely finished, completely accomplished. For whom? For my church. Let us sing Psalter 262, 1 and 2. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. He has wrought salvation, He has made it known, and before the nations is His justice shown. 1 and 2 of Psalter 262. congregation, we have heard much in the weeks gone by about the suffering, about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for whom did he die? He did not die for everyone. He did not die for everyone also that is a confessing member of the church. Thus, there are many who will have heard of the suffering and of the dying of the Lord Jesus, who will never have received profit of it. Commemorated Good Friday maybe many times in our life. But Good Friday also needs to be experienced by us. It needs to be applied in our own heart and life. There are steps in the life of grace. Do you believe that, young people? Because there are many people who will deny this today. But it is according to the Bible. Because the Bible that talks about children, about young men, and about fathers in grace. And that has to do with a spiritual maturity. That is how far that the Lord has led a person in this life, in the mysteries of His grace. The Lord is free. The one He will lead further than the other. The youngest and the least experienced is as safe as the oldest and the most experienced. But they are not as comfortable in their own heart for themselves. Can pretend. We can pretend to be led very far by the Lord, but it will not give us anything, any profit, nor any comfort. It is only a spiritual pride, which is sin against the Lord. The Lord, He is making His people honest. Good Friday, that is speaking about the death of Christ. And why did Christ have to die? There are people that say that He did not actually have to die. But if He didn't have to die, then He would not also have died. Why would the Father require this death if it was not absolutely necessary? Is not He His beloved Son? No, that death was necessary. Why was that death necessary? That death was necessary because there is a law, and that death is necessary because there is a judge. A righteous judge that is not going to look through his fingers at sin. Christ's death, that is an atonement. Regardless of all the denials of men against this atonement in our days. But that death of Christ that is standing in the place of the death of the condemnation of His church. But that cannot just be for us an interesting fact. and a true doctrine, but that is something that we need to experience also for ourselves. If I will have true comfort in my heart, then I need to know that that death that was for me, that He has stood in my place. Have we any interest in our life to know this? But how can a man come to know this if he himself has never to come to consider his own death? And if he has never himself come to consider that he shall also stand before the judge? It is one thing to know there is a judge, and it is another thing to call, to be called to stand before the judge. You may ask anyone who has been called to stand before a judge in this world, all the things that are taking place in his heart after he has received such a summons. Many things that he has never thought and never experienced in his whole life. Thus, those are two different things, distinct things, to know there is a judge or to be called to stand before the judge. What is, congregation, the concerned church, as our fathers have called them? The concerned church. Well, you may think, young people, just about the words themselves. That is a church that is concerned. Are you concerned? Or you have no concern? Or your concerns are all of the things here below? We all have those concerns. But do you now have other concerns? The concerned church, what is that? That is a church that has been born again. That is a church that has received a new life. That is a church that has received a new love, a new desire, a concerned church. Why? Because that is a church that has received faith. What does faith believe? The Word of God. What does the Word of God say? In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Concerned. Why? Because I have to die. And after death, the judgment. Concerned. Or are you also part of that concerned church? That concerned church that has a desire to live according to all the commandments of the Lord. Why? Well, first, because of love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And if we do love, we will want to keep those commandments. But also for another reason, because they are concerned. I have to die. I have to stand before God. And when I stand before God, then I know that law that is going to be before me. That is the law of God. It is sin for which I will be judged. A concerned church. Are you part of that concerned church? To ask, to seek, to knock, that is not a burden for that concerned church. No, that is their life. That is their delight. What is worn out by that concerned church? That is that holy book. And the sermons and the tapes, that is their whole life. And that church that becomes ever more concerned. Why? Because the more they labor, the more that they look in that Word of God, and they see that all their labors, they cannot come up to that word of God. Because the apostle, he says, who shall keep that whole law and yet offend in one thing? He is guilty of all. Concern. That is now what that concerned church learns. They have to learn that old covenant that is a broken covenant, that is a covenant in which I am born. Concerned. Why? Because they do not know any other way. No other way but that first covenant. Until when? Until the Lord opens the way. Until the Lord reveals a way. Until the Lord says to that people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, then the heart of that people that is going out after Him. And they see a little of Him in His beauty. Oh, then they begin to love Him. That second person, that Son of God, that Savior that has come into the world. Then they seek Him. But now there is still a difference between entering in through that wicked gate and coming onto the cross. Read Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan, he lays that out. It is one thing that Christ is revealed at that gate by which they may enter. And it is another thing that Christ is applied unto their heart, which is taking place at that cross. It is a concerned church. And the concerned church, they know that there is a judge. Yes. But that concerned church, they are distinguished from the established church, because that established church that does not only know there is a judge, but that established church has been acquitted by that judge. Is there not a great difference? A great difference in the peace. A great difference in the comfort, in the consolation of their life. Good Friday, that is intimately connected with Easter. You cannot separate these two. The one that follows upon the other. Christ had to rise at Easter. Why? Could be no other way. Why? Because Christ, He declared, it is finished. And now that justification that is necessarily following that full payment of that price, if God is just. Thus, there was no other way than that Christ should rise from the dead that third day. Man is not able to appear before that great judge with everything that the Lord has given him to experience in his life. He needs from the Lord's side, yes, but we speak about from man's side. Because in order to receive from our side the ability to stand before our judge, then we need to know the ground, the foundation upon which that we are standing. A sight of Christ the revelation of Christ, with that love and that desire to seek and to know Him, is not sufficient for a man to be able to stand before that judgment seat of God. No, he needs more. He needs Christ also applied to his own soul. On Good Friday, then Christ, he was nailed unto that cursed tree. That was because of the justice of God. And if a man, if that will ever become precious to a man, then he has to see also by that Spirit of the Lord what he himself deserves. Thus, that Spirit of the Lord, he is bringing a man to agree, just as that thief who said, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." That is, to justify God in his own condemnation. That's Good Friday. That is not experienced merely by the cutting off of a man's works, but that is in the cutting off of his very life. Why? Because of his guilt. The disciples, they did not call that day good, not that night. You understand it? No, for them it was not a good day at all. That was the worst day in their whole life. You can imagine that, boys and girls. And that people neither. When did that begin to be understood by them? That was not until 3 days later. It was only at Easter when they begin to look back and they begin to understand what has taken place that 3 days earlier. When that blessed confession of the Lord Jesus that becomes precious unto each and every one of them, namely, "It is finished." Oh, how is that when the Lord says it to such a condemned soul? Did you ever see it in your condemnation? Because then the Lord shows to a man that cross. And then he opens up something unto him of that substitutionary work of that only begotten Son of God. And how that he himself was condemned by that highest judge of heaven and of earth. Showing and assuring him that this man has done nothing amiss. And that this death was even for such as he is himself. Who has to say and who says that with all his heart, "I indeed justly, I received the due reward of my deeds." Oh, it is in such a place that the Spirit is giving such a light on the reason, on the cause of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his declaration in that day when he said, "It is finished." When the Lord is opening those holy scriptures, that his lost soul is surprised with blessed views of the motives of the Son of God in giving himself even unto death. That his soul by faith may drink of that heavenly fountain of the good pleasure of the Lord. Then he may be privileged to be blessed with a insight into that fulfillment of justice. It is finished. And then not only concerning others, but also for myself. Oh, to feel something in that day of that heavenly balm that is flowing into my own wounds, those wounds that do threaten to condemn me forever and forever. Blessed views. It is finished. Blessed views of the harmony of the attributes of God, how that God can be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus, that is for the ungodly, then it becomes so personal. Faith in that moment that can do nothing else but to embrace that which is imputed unto it by the Lord himself. It is finished. Oh, what does the church then in that day not see? In those blessed moments by a living faith. Oh, then they see something of a foundation that they have never seen before and felt before in their life. Blessed moments. It is finished. Nothing missing. Nothing required from my side anymore. Everything accomplished. Standing on such a solid foundation, oh, that is the place that Bunyan's pilgrim lost his burden and that it fell from his back. And we read, it fell down into that sepulchre. Oh, then we see the connection, the blessed connection of Good Friday with Easter. They cannot be separated from one another. And then he may be glad, we read, and lightsome. Oh, he may delight. He says, he has given me rest for my sorrow. He has given me life by his death. And he looked and looked and was so surprised that a sight of the cross would so relieve him of his burden. Oh, congregation, is there here a people that were ever so relieved from their burden by such a sight of the cross? That is to the happiness of your soul, religion, that it must be more than notion. Something must be known, something must be felt. It is finished. It is finished. It is accomplished. The blessed testimony of that Son of God unto his own Father concerning that own covenant sworn from that never begun eternity. Finished. By the strength of the divinity of the Son of Man for the sake of his church who would never ever be able to finish it. Oh, blessed, blessed congregation is that people. Oh, that we would have no rest until we ourselves could drink of this fountain, the fountain of living waters, that is flowing out of this death, this cursed death of the Son of God. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us therein. Thou knowest our hearts and all that they contain. Feed thy people, and wilt thou deliver from death those that are condemned in and of themselves. Open their eyes, bless thy word, bring us to our places, give us a little meditation in this night. Oh, if it has not been in all the day that is gone by, oh, then could it please thee to make our meditation sweet yet in this evening hour. Wilt thou bring us to our places in safety and with desire on thy day and ability to come up again together in thy house and be with all those that travel, bring safely over roads and in the air. And wilt thou spare from sudden and an unprepared death? Forgive thou all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 381, 1 and 4. With grateful hearts my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows in 1 and 4 of Psalter 381.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.